Keen on eco-socialism. At 10, Chris Andre hosts Air Cascadia. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with Dennis Bernstein. And at 11 on The Recovery Zone, host Stephanie Potter speaks with members of Educating for Climate Justice about creating a curriculum that deals with the realities of climate change and empowers students to work towards a more just and sustainable future. Thanks, KWU members, for your generous support during our fall membership drive. Have a good night, Kanan.
Good night, Jenna. Good night, Wesley.
Good night, Wales.
Good night, Wales.
Karen James speaks with Alice Lindell from the Oregon Justice Resource Center about their event on Thursday, September 29th that brings together speakers from both sides of death row. That's what we bring you tonight on News in Depth.
KWU News in Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
While a moratorium continues on capital punishment in Oregon, 35 people remain on Oregon's death row. A Portland event on September 29th brings together the executioner and the exonerated. Both will speak out against the death penalty. With me is Alice Lindell, Director of Communications for the Oregon Justice Resource Center. Alice, talk about this September 29th event. Death row from both sides.
Well, one of the things that those of us who work on the death penalty in Oregon know is that many Oregonians don't have a lot of awareness about the fact that we actually have a death penalty, partly because we have used it so little. We've only used it twice in the last 50 years. And what we've recognized is there's a real need for education and information for people about the death penalty. And I think one of the most powerful ways that you can do that is to offer people the opportunity to hear from those individuals who have actually seen the death penalty up close. So our event, which is Thursday, September 29th at First Unitarian Church in Portland, is called Death Row from Both Sides. And the both sides that we're talking about is both sides of the prison bars. So one of our speakers is Anthony Graves, who is from Texas, and he spent 18 years in prison, almost all of it on death row, for a series of horrible murders that he actually had no involvement in whatsoever. He ended up being convicted because of a false accusation from another defendant in the case, and because the prosecutor, who has since been disbarred for his actions in Anthony's case, the prosecutor covered up evidence and misled the court, and therefore it resulted in Anthony being convicted, even though there wasn't physical evidence tying him to the crime. So Anthony was in prison basically most of the sort of 20 years running up to 2010, when he finally was exonerated and left incarceration. And he can talk about what that experience was like. I mean, how this really happens to people. You know, we've now had 156 people in this country who were on death row and have been exonerated of the crimes of which they were convicted. And when you think about how the justice system operates, we take death-eligible cases more seriously, or we certainly should take them more seriously than any other kind of case. So a lot of time and effort and resources and energy goes into these cases, and yet it's still possible that we have people, we can see that, we've got 156 of them now across the country, who still got convicted despite all of these efforts to try to make sure that the only people who are given the most severe possible punishment are the people that have actually committed the crime in question. Anthony didn't, and it took nearly 20 years for him to prove he wasn't guilty and to get out and to be able to start to rebuild his life in the last 6 years. So he is one of our speakers, and he's giving that perspective of what it is like to be on death row, what it is like to be on death row as an innocent man and have no one believe you, what it is like to fight and fight and fight for years to get out again. Our other speaker is Frank Thompson, who's from Oregon. He's someone who might be known to people because he has spoken out a lot about Oregon's death penalty. Frank was the superintendent of Oregon State Penitentiary during the 1990s, when the only two executions that have taken place in Oregon happened because two of the people on death row chose not to pursue their appeals anymore that they were constitutionally entitled to. They gave up their appeals and they agreed to be executed. So Frank had to plan, organize, supervise, lead the team of people to carry out these two executions in the 1990s. Now, prior to having that experience, he had always felt like the death penalty was probably okay. It was reasonable when someone's committed a really horrendous crime that you punish them with taking away their life. So he kind of accepted it as it was part of his position as superintendent, and it was okay to do this. But having gone through the experience of these two executions, having seen what that means to take someone's life, even in a way that is legal, that you are carrying it out on behalf of the state and by extension on behalf of everyone in Oregon, and when he saw what impact it had psychologically, emotionally on him, on the people that he was leading, he just came to a place of feeling like the death penalty's cost is too high, both what it does to the people who are executed, but what it does to all the people who have to be involved in the death penalty process is just too severe. It's too big a thing to ask of people to participate in taking a human life in this way. He's now come to a perspective of being against the death penalty, and he's a very outspoken voice against the death penalty, not just in Oregon, but he's spoken out beyond that nationally about his support for abolishing the death penalty for many reasons, but partly because of what it does to the people who have to carry it out. So we'll have Anthony and Frank at the event, and they're both going to speak, and afterwards people get the chance to ask some questions. And it is a really rare thing to bring together these two people who've seen the death penalty up close and can really speak from personal experience about what is the reality of this punishment that we have in place in Oregon.
So why should we repeal the death penalty?
Well, it's probably not for me to tell Oregonians that they should decide that, because it will come down to Oregonians to make that decision. But certainly from our perspective as an organization that spent a lot of time looking at the death penalty, when you add up all of the problems that there are with the death penalty, like innocent people on death row and the prospect of innocent people being executed, and undoubtedly we will have had in this country some executions of people who were innocent that, you know, we didn't find out in time. When you look at the fact that the cost studies that have been done looking at the financial costs of the death penalty show significantly increased cost in the various states that they've looked at this, and we do have in Oregon, there is an academic study on the cost of the death penalty being conducted that should be out sometime before the end of the year, and likely it will show a similar pattern of, you know, significant extra financial cost as a result of having the death penalty, even though in Oregon we're not actually carrying out the execution in the end. Another cost I think is really significant is for victims' families. Now, when you talk to victims' families about the death penalty, you get a lot of different perspectives. There are people who feel like the death penalty is the only way to get closure. Or well, some people feel that initially, and then over time, as they are repeatedly, you know, have this terrible, terrible loss that they've experienced through the violent death of a loved one, it is repeatedly brought back to them by the process of the appeals that happen over many years as part of the death penalty system. So if you are somebody who sees someone convicted of the murder of your loved one and sentenced to death, that is not going to be the end of it for you. You are going to be dragged through this process over and over again as they go through appeals over the years. So that can be very, very hard on people. Of course, some people might then think, well, why don't we get rid of the appeals? But you can't do that because of the constitutional protections in place to make sure that people are not wrongfully executed and that people have had every opportunity to put forward their case before the final warrant is issued for their execution. So you can't remove those protections. You have to have all those appeals if you're going to have a death penalty system. But that can cause tremendous heartache to victims' families, and some of them will feel like, it would be better not to have to go through that. Certainly there are some Oregon murder victim family members who I've spoken with who are very passionately opposed to the death penalty. Part of that reason is because they know how much of a burden it places on the family to be repeatedly drawn back to this experience. And of course, there's another family involved, which is the family of the person on death row. They have not committed a crime and they have not done anything to merit the emotional trauma and harm of waiting year after year for the prospect of their loved one being killed. That's also very difficult for them, and they might also find it more difficult to find sympathy, where a murder victim family member, you know, is likely to get sympathy from people, perhaps for those people who are family members of the person facing execution, they may not find such a sympathetic reception. So they may have to go through that process somewhat alone. And yet it's just as hard for them to be waiting for their loved one on death row to die.
Alice, is capital punishment a deterrent? Does it make the public safer?
This is a question that a lot of people ask, and there have been many studies done nationally looking at whether you can draw a line between states who use the death penalty and states who don't, and looking at their crime rates and trying to connect the two. And the reality is no one has been able to conclusively demonstrate that, you know, states that have the death penalty have lower murder rates, or states that don't have the death penalty have higher murder rates. There's a whole mixed picture there across the country, and we have many different situations in states that you can make these comparisons between states who haven't had a death penalty for decades, states who are still have one and are using it, states like Oregon that technically have one but aren't actually using it. There's a whole, you know, mishmash there of different options, but when you look across the board, you don't see clear evidence of having the death penalty is acting as a deterrent. You have to ask how much people who are committing crimes are really thinking about the prospect of being punished, whether they think they're going to get away with it somehow, whether they're committing a crime while under the influence of alcohol or drugs or a mental health crisis or just such a strong passion that's brought them to the point where they've committed a violent crime. Do they really sit and think about what will happen to them afterwards or understand the prospect of the death penalty is there? I don't know that they do. And certainly the research that's out there has not been able to show that there is a clear deterrent effect of the death penalty.
What are the current attitudes toward capital punishment?
Well, generally speaking, both in Oregon and across the U.S., you saw in the 1990s the kind of high watermark of support for the death penalty. And since then, over the last 20 years, there's been a gradual decline in the number of people who are actively in support of the death penalty, and that applies in Oregon and applies nationally. And at the same time, a growth in the number of people who are against the death penalty, both in Oregon and nationally. So we're seeing, you know, it's not a dramatic change, it's a gradual change, but we're seeing a gradual erosion of support for the death penalty. And when you look at actually usage of the death penalty across the country and states that still have it, we now have fewer states that have it in the first place. And the states that do have it are making less use of it. We have several states now that have a moratorium like Oregon. We have fewer people being sentenced to death in states that are still passing death sentences. And we have fewer people actually being executed in states that are still executing. So overall, there is both in terms of public attitudes and in terms of usage of the death penalty, there is this just gradual turning away from the death penalty. And that trend seems to be continuing as far as we know at this point. So we can probably expect support to further erode.
Alice Lindell with Oregon Justice Resource Center. Tell us once again about this event.
The event is Thursday, September 29th, and we will be starting at 7 o'clock. It's at First Unitarian Church in Portland. We have tickets available online. The price is $30 or $15 for students. And you can get your tickets through our website, which is ojrc.org, ojrc.org, and all the information you need is there. So come and hear Anthony and Frank speak, and get your chance to ask some questions as well, because I don't think you're going to get many opportunities to hear about the death penalty directly from two people who've seen it so close and have come to understand why it's so problematic.
Alice Lundell, Director of Communications for Oregon Justice Resource Center, thank you. For KBOO News, I'm Karen James.
This is KBOO in Portland. Coming up next, This Way Out. Edward Albee takes a final bow. Queensland, age of consent equality. Emmy highlights, Northern Ireland, Belgrade, Charlotte, and Botswana. Lots of global LGBT news.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Social Justice Action Center Open House, Tuesday, October 4th, beginning at 5:30 p.m. at 400 Southeast 12th Avenue in Portland. Rents in Portland are rising, and long-term grassroots institutions are being forced out. But the Social Justice Action Center is bucking that trend. The Social Justice Action Center will be sharing their model for grassroots organizing in the heart of Portland, especially by and for marginalized communities and organizers of color. There will also be information on getting involved with the center, a silent auction, music, and much more. Again, that's the Social Justice Action Center Open House, Tuesday, October 4th, starting at 5:30 p.m. at 400 Southeast 12th Avenue in Portland. More information may be found at KBOO.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Radio Cab, the transportation choice of Portlanders since 1946, with service 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Radio Cab has a mobile app that allows you to book a cab with your phone, available at the App Store, Google Play, and at radiocab.net. Or, if you prefer, you can talk to a real person at 503-227-1212.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland's Gay Directory, providing a resource guide of openly